Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
Good morning. I am Jesse DeLeon here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View.
Good to see you this morning, and welcome to all of our listeners this morning.
Good to see you as well, Bishop. As we begin a brand new month, here we are on the first Sunday of November.
Let me first say this is the 31st Sunday in Ordinary Time, and we begin the last chapters of St. Matthew's Gospel, which are all directed toward the end things. So this is kind of a preparation for the closing of the liturgical year and also preparing ourselves for eternity. And then we will begin Advent in a few weeks.
Yes, and Advent, not that far away.
Exactly.
Let us now hear today's gospel.
So reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees have taken their seat on the chair of Moses. Therefore, do and observe all things whatsoever they tell you, but do not follow their example. For they preach, but they do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens hard to carry and lay them on people's shoulders, but they will not lift a finger to move them. All their works are performed to be seen. They widen their phylacteries and lengthen their tassels. They love places of honor at banquets, seats of honor in synagogues, greetings in marketplaces, and the salutation, Rabbi. As for you, do not be called Rabbi. You have only one teacher, and you are all brothers. Call no one on earth your father, for you have but one father in heaven. Do not be called Master, you have but one Master, the Christ. The greatest among you must be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Bishop, as you mentioned, we are nearing the end of the liturgical year, and we are preparing for eternity. And in order to prepare for eternity, we need to be in service to one another. And that is what this gospel reminds us to do.
Exactly. There's so much that we tie into being Christian, being followers of Christ, that certainly are important. But I think always when it comes down to the last things, we look at what is really essential, what is really the very nature of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus and what it means to be a Christian in this sense. And that has to do with service. Jesus said, "I have not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life in ransom for many." So it's this whole notion of service. And even at the Last Supper, we see him showing that service in a very dramatic way by washing the disciples' feet. Of course, there was always that one, Judas, who could not understand what service really means. He misinterpreted Jesus' words for personal gain. And so he unfortunately left the other 11 and betrayed Jesus in the process. But besides that, I think it's important for us to understand what it really means to serve. All of us are called to serve. This is the very nature of being a disciple of Jesus. It's by nature, through our baptism, that we are incorporated. We are brought into not just the thought of Jesus, but we're incorporated into his life. We die with him, as St. Paul says, speaking of baptism. And therefore, as disciples, we are called to serve, to serve, to serve. That is our true nature. And I'm grateful to everyone who has served in such remarkable ways. There are always different ways to serve. And I think that's something that we should also recognize today as we look at our nature as Christians, as being servants. if you look in a family, a father serves differently than a mother does in the family, and the children serve differently than the mother and the father. Grandparents, of course, have a special service to the family. But all of this is certainly a part of the service. So I think we need to understand the body of Christ, as St. Paul speaks of it, that the there's hands, there's eyes, there's ears, there's feet, and all of them have different functions, but all of them serve the same purpose with Christ as its head. As Jesus says here, you do not have but one master, and that is the Christ. And so as we serve, we have to keep in mind that all of our service, no matter if it is heroic, if it's day-to-day, if it's ordinary, if it's extraordinary, if it's administrative, if it's hands-on, whatever it is, all is service and all is to be done in the name of Jesus.
We see at the beginning of the gospel, when we hear of those who serve to be seen, and that is not really the way of true service to others, because it really should be about humility.
Right. And I think also the fruit of service is joy. When we think that we're serving, but we're not joyful, then we're not serving. We right. might be doing it to be seen. We might be doing it for some other motivation, for some ideology, for some attention to self. But true service creates joy in a person. And why is that? Because as being said more and more today in understanding the true meaning of love, it's that stepping beyond ourselves. When life, when a certain activity becomes self-serving, there is no joy. There can be no joy. There can be joy on the face, as he talks about here, the phylacteries and the tassels. That's kind of the exterior. Mm-hmm. And so when there might be a smile on the face, but the person might be dying inside. And I think, you know, certainly not to condemn anyone like that or to judge anyone like that, but what's truly happening there is there's no joy. And only a person, him or herself, can measure the joy that's inside and really bring about that joy. And of course, the call to conversion, the call to forgiveness, the call to mercy is always there. But the fruit of all of that is joy in serving, because joy takes attention off oneself. And that's where joy really happens. And that's the true meaning of service, to take attention off of ourselves and give that glory to Almighty God. And that produces joy which cannot be measured and certainly cannot be bought.
And Bishop, this gospel's message seems to resonate even more in light of how the culture is turning more insular, more inward, even more isolated and less concerned with service and the welfare of others, and only self-promotion and self-seeking activities. Many of this, of course, is due to the intrusive characteristics of social media and technology, how they create a sense of independence that often spills into isolation and eventual disconnection from others, where we lose that sense of community. The experience of sitting across from someone face-to-face, like you and I are right now, and engaging with them, that seems to be less and less these days, where you have more people just staring at a screen or at their phones.
There's so many stories, you know, of people being grateful and putting things into perspective of what really is important in our lives. And I think that's all part of that fruit of serving and being served. We have to also be served, you know. I mean, that's somebody's got to receive the serve. But it's when that dynamic of mutual love, giving and receiving, reciprocal love, is happening that we really see the true nature of love and service, and also the true values that are a part of our life and not just the passing values.
Another part of this gospel toward the end, when it talks specifically about humility, I went and researched the catechism to see how humility is described there. And it said that humility is the virtue by which a Christian acknowledges that God is the author of all that is good. Humility avoids inordinate ambition or pride, and humility provides the foundation for turning to God in prayer.
Right. And it's so appreciated when it's received, as it is, has been and is here too as well.
Voluntary humility can be described as poverty of spirit.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Yes, very good. And, you know, another aspect of humility is the root of the word is humus, is the dirt, you know, ground. You know, priests, bishops, whenever we're ordained, we lay flat, even on Good Friday. The first action of that Good Friday is to lay flat on the floor with your face to the floor. That's that humility, the sign of humility, that it's when our face is in the ground that humility is there, because we rely totally upon mm-hmm. God. So service, going back and linking the two, service requires humility. Again, directing attention away from self and toward God and others. Humility is the queen of all the virtues. It's the first of all the virtues. And to be able to find that path to humility is a great gift to oneself, and also enriches our life and enriches our service. I would just know we're getting close to the end here, but I think if there's one place that we can learn humility is spending time in front of the cross, looking at the cross and just seeing that that person who gave his life for us on the cross is the greatest sign, the greatest gift of humility to any one of us. And it wouldn't even hurt for us to lay in front of the crucifix on our face too, as a preparation for really living a life of service and humility.
Our Shepherd's View will continue.
St. Pius X Catholic School will host their holiday market from 10 a.m. till 3 p.m. Saturday, November the 11th. The place is the Monsignor Michael Adams Parish Hall, 737 St. Pius Drive. Admission is free, and you can shop lots of vendors offering crafts, food, jewelry, home decorations, clothes, and much more. Christmas is rapidly approaching, and you don't want to be caught short-handed. So here's your chance to get your shopping started. If you have questions, please call the St. Pius X School Office, 361-992-1343.
Sunday, November 12th, consider heading to Alice for their 15th annual Fall Festival at St. Elizabeth of Hungary Parish, 603 East 5th Street. From 11 a.m. until 6 p.m., you'll be treated to a tummy-filling barbecue plate with all the trimmings. You may eat your meal there or take it home with you. Also featured will be a silent auction, a sweet shop, and games for everyone. In general, a fine time for the entire family. For more information, to volunteer, or to donate, please call the parish office, 361-664-6481.
Our Shepherd's View continues now. I am Jesse DeLeon here with Bishop Michael Mulvey. And as we begin our second segment, we will be sharing with you the Word of Life for November.
Yeah, exactly. So again, these sentences of the gospel have been called for over 60 years the Word of Life, and they're just given out throughout the world, actually in different languages, so that we can try to live just one sentence a month and focus our attention on one sentence. So I would ask all the listeners to kind of either write it down or go back to the website and just keep it in mind and see how we can live this and make it real in our life. So it's taken from Matthew chapter 23, verse 11, which we just read in the gospel. The greatest among you will be your servant. Jesus was speaking to the crowds that followed him, telling them about the new lifestyle of those who want to be his disciples. A way of life that went, quote, against the current, end quote, in comparison with the usual way of thinking. In his day, and today too, it is easy to talk in high moral terms and then not live accordingly, seeking prestige in society, wanting to be seen, or using others for personal advantage. Jesus asks his disciples to have a completely different logic when relating to others, as he himself had. Again, the greatest among you will be your servant. At a September 1982 meeting in Payerne, Switzerland, Carrie Lubick shared her spiritual experience with people who wanted to discover how to live the gospel. She said, quote, "We must keep our gaze fixed on the one Father of so many children, and then consider all people as children of that one Father. Jesus, who is our model, taught us two things that are ultimately one, to be children of our one Father and to be brothers and sisters to one another. God was calling us to universal brotherhood and sisterhood. This is what is new, to love everyone just as Jesus did, because all people, you and me and every person on the face of the earth, are children of God, who have always been loved and wanted by Him. In this way, we discover that the brother or sister we should love in concrete ways, with our muscles too, is every single person we meet on a daily basis. This means my dad, my mother-in-law, my rebellious child. It means someone in prison, a street beggar, someone who is disabled, my manager, and the cleaners at work. It means my colleague in a political party and the person who has different political opinions than I do. It means people of our faith and culture, as well as foreigners. The characteristically Christian attitude toward every brother and sister is to serve them. The greatest among you will be your servant." And the quote from her meeting in Payerne continues, "To strive for primacy of the gospel by putting ourselves at the service of everyone," Kiara continued, "what is the best way to serve? To make ourselves one with everyone we meet, feeling what they feel within ourselves, helping as though their problems were our own, made ours by love. No longer living just thinking of ourselves, but seeking to bear other people's burdens and to share their joys. Each of our skills and good points, all that we might feel great about, is an opportunity to serve that which must not be lost. Our experience of work, our artistic talents, our knowledge, but also being able to laugh, to make people laugh, or the time given to listening to someone who is unsure what to do or who is in difficulty. There's the energy of youth, but also the power of prayer when physical strength lessens. The greatest among you will be your servant. Sooner or later, this selfless gospel love kindles within the heart of our brothers and sisters the same desire to share, renewing relationships in the family, the parish, and the workplace, and places where people relax, laying the foundations for a new society." Here's an experience from Hermes, a teenager in the Middle East. Quote, "It was Sunday, and as soon as I woke up, I asked Jesus to help me to love all day long. I realized my parents had gone to an earlier Mass, and it occurred to me to clean and tidy up the house. I tried to do everything well, even putting some flowers on the table. Then I prepared breakfast and set the table. When they came back, my parents were surprised and happy seeing all I had done. That Sunday, breakfast together was especially happy. We spent time talking about many things, and I was able to share my experiences I had had that week. That small act of love had set the tone for a fantastic day." You know, I think we celebrate in the month of November the Feast of All Saints. And, you know, this year I was in preparing for the homily. I thought we certainly honor the saints, but do they really need our honor? That's a quote and a question by St. Bernard. Do they really need us or do we need them? We need them by the small examples. And when you look at the lives of the saints, they were not people who tried to imitate someone else. They may have followed, a founder or a foundress of a religious community, such as St. Teresa of Avila or St. Ignatius of Loyola, but they're a person's individual holiness is not an imitation of someone else. It's a response to their own calling day by day. As this young person in the Middle East woke up and said, "Help me to love all day long." That was God's will for this person. And to find the little ways throughout the day to do that in the most ordinary of ways is what holiness is all about. It's not creating something that is so lofty and beyond us that we'll never get there. So the saints in this case are just those brothers and sisters. I call them our older brothers and sisters, and some of them are not older, but they walk with us, they inspire us, and encourage us to do what God wants us to do in the present moment today. And that's what I would encourage us to do today, is just to say a little prayer right now, even to say, you know, God, show me today how to love you. And I guarantee you there will be someone in your path today that will be an occasion for you to come out of yourself and to love that person.
That is a beautiful way of thinking about it, Bishop. When we think of the saints, we must remember that they started out with very ordinary lives. They did not lead perfect lives, but they had a conversion. It doesn't matter what we did yesterday. Let's focus on today.
You know, I just received a relic from a Blessed Stanley Rother, who was just in, at the beginning of October, made the first American priest martyr by the church, recognized by the church as blessed. So we're hoping that soon he will become a saint. But just knowing his life, he could have still been living today. I mean, he would be 82 or 83, but he was just a farmer, grew up in a farm family in Oklahoma, became a priest, and eventually went to Guatemala when there was a call for priests to come and help, and was put in a very dangerous area. Of course, in those days, most of that part of the country was dangerous. But, you know, just day to day, made friends with the people of his parish, helped them learn to garden and to grow plants and to educate them, and so many things. He just did simple things for them. And in the end, lost his life because the government turned against him and much of the church at that time, trying to destroy the church. But he became a saint out of it. And I'm just very grateful that we were given, as a diocese, that relic of his person to, again, and reminds us that being holy is not an impossible task. It's a day-to-day, simple task that requires, as we talked about earlier in the gospel, requires the humility to serve our brothers and sisters in the smallest of things. But every small act like that is something that creates the greatness inside of us. The greatest among you will be your servant. So that service in humility creates what is great in us, which is not the exterior, but it's the greatness of love, which is our human dignity, is the true meaning of our human dignity.
Thank you, Bishop, for the beautiful reflections and insights on humility. We will take that with us into our upcoming week and beyond. If you would please close our program with a prayer.
Certainly. Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, by whose gift your faithful offer you right and praiseworthy service, grant, we pray, that we may listen without stumbling to receive the things you have promised. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you this day and always, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.
Saturday, November 11th, is Veterans Day, as we all know. Also on that day, a special public square rosary will be prayed by parishioners from St. Andrew-by-the-Sea and St. Paul the Apostle, as well as many others, including you, if you wish to attend. This second annual event is one of thousands of America Needs Fatima rosary rallies across the nation that day in support of law enforcement, first responders, and our military. The place is the Flower Bluff Police Department parking lot, 1456 Waldron Road, and it will begin at noon. Everyone is welcome, and it's suggested that you bring your rosary, a hat, a chair, and some sunscreen. Cold drinking water will be provided. Last year, representatives of a number of churches and other organizations, including the Newman Center at Texas A&M University Corpus Christi, were also in attendance. To learn more, please call Patricia at 503-804-9931.
Fall festival time at Christ the King Parish in Corpus Christi means turkey legs, brisket tacos, menudo, chalupas, funnel cakes, and more tasty foods. It also means great music, games, and a silent auction. It also means that everyone is invited to this festival at the church, 3423 Rojo Street, on Sunday, November 12th, 10 a.m. till 3 p.m. Finally, it means that if you have questions, please call the church office, 361-883-2821.